Luke chapter number 6. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. I want to start reading in verse number 45. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 45. The Bible said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Boy, there's a lot of evil treasure, ain't they, in the world today. Did you see, listen to me, listen to me just a minute. Did you see anything on the news where they were having a meeting about the books that are being opened with pornographic images in it in our schools? Did you see where the news media had to turn their cameras off because, see, they would get in trouble for putting those images on TV? Are you listening to me? The evil is everywhere, beloved. Amen. The fentanyl is coming into our country. China ain't even firing a shot, but they're killing us by the thousands. I'm telling you, beloved, we better wake up. The Bible said the evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, he bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now watch verse 46. Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I'm telling you, we're living in a world where a lot of people's got the Lord in their mouth, but they don't have the Lord in their heart. When you get the Lord in your heart, it'll change you. It'll change your life. Amen. The Bible said here, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. If God will help me this morning, I want to preach on this subject for a little while, the importance of the spiritual shovel. The importance of the spiritual shovel. You say, Pastor, where do you see a shovel in the text? Jesus said when we hear him and we do what he says, it's like a man that built a house, but he digged down deep. I'm going to give you three things in the Word of God today, beloved. We're going to need that shovel for. And I pray that God will help us. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, this morning for your people. Thank you, Lord, this morning for the sweet Holy Ghost. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you, Father, this morning for the Word of God. Lord, we just want to thank you this morning. Lord, we read last week where Solomon, he built the house of God. And Lord, his heart was so full. He spent two whole chapters, Lord, just thanking you and praising you. God, we thank you for what you're doing in these days. We pray, dear God, this morning, you speak to the heart, that individual, Lord, that's not saved. God, draw them, Lord, with cords of compassion and help them, Lord, today. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother Jason, go over and get my shovel for me, would you, brother? It's right on that side over there, I believe. And last week we took a spoon and put it in our Bible for a Bible marker to remind us that if we'll dig in that valley, amen, thank you, brother, if we'll dig in that valley, God will fill it with water. Brother Junior said to me this morning, he said, Pastor, he said, I thought it would have been good last week if you would have got a used shovel. He thought I was using a new one. Honey, it's used. See there, it's got concrete on the back of it. Don't you love it when somebody borrows your shovel and brings it back with concrete on the back of it? You know, that concrete would have come off a lot easier when it was wet, wouldn't it, Brother Gary? Amen. But now it'll have to be chiseled off. Amen. I'll just tell you, it is a used shovel. And I believe that around the house of God, we as God's people need to use the shovel. I want you to see three things today in the Word of God. First of all, the shovel's needed that we might dig down. The Word of God said here, beloved, he's like a man which built a house and digged deep. And digged deep. I want you to do something this morning in your heart and in your mind. I want you to get your shovel out, and I want you to dig down deep. I want you to go back in your life, and I want you to see, beloved, if you can find a place where God took you out of the muck and out of the mire and put your life on a solid foundation, on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God said in the book of Hebrews, that rock that followed them was Christ. Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'll tell you, beloved, listen to me. I got to thinking this morning. I know a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit about construction. And I got to thinking this morning, well, if you show up there, beloved, and you're going to build a house, the first thing you need, my grandpa called it a backhoe digger. Amen. He was looking through the little sight glass one time for my dad, and dad said, what do you see, Pap? And dad had the stick holding it up here, telling the elevation. He said, I can't see nothing but the backhoe digger. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, God in my spirit told me that ain't first. You see, Brother Don, before somebody going to build a house, they're going to be a plan. Amen. Somebody's got to have a plan. You got to know where the corners are going to be even before you start digging. Aren't you glad? Thank God, before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. Amen. And God said, beloved, listen, those that will listen to me, those that will live their life in obedience to the Word of God, they're like a man that dig down deep. And he put his house on a solid rock, on a solid foundation. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me carefully. You may not understand, beloved, it's already starting in the banking industry. This thing's going to crumble one day. And beloved, you better have your house built on the rock. Amen. The rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the storm comes, that man that dig down, that man, beloved, listen, that understands that these things that are shallow and these things that are wishy-washy, they ain't going to get it done. You can sign every card, get baptized in every baptistry. You can be baptized in the river till the tadpoles know your name. But if you've not been born again, if you've not been washed in the blood, if you're not on the solid foundation, when the storm comes, the house is going to fall. God said we need to dig down deep. He said that's that person. That person, beloved, I wrote down three things last night as I was studying. Deep conviction. You know what deep conviction will do? It will produce deep contrition. It'll produce something called godly sorrow. The Word of God said, the sorrow of the world worketh death, but godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. That needed not to be repented of. Beloved, listen, we're living in a generation that ain't even heard the word conviction, let alone know what it is. But I'm telling you, beloved, down deep, there's a foundation. But you get on that foundation by experiencing that conviction of the Spirit of God, that contrition. Listen, not sorry that I lied to mama, but sorry that, beloved, I've sinned against the Holy God. Amen. Godly sorrow. I'll tell you what, deep conviction and deep contrition, you know what it'll do? It'll produce a deep conversion. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? What that means is, beloved, you can look back there in your life. It doesn't matter, beloved, if you was a youngin' when you got saved, you know what it is to be forgiven. It doesn't matter, beloved, if you were up in years when you got saved, you know what it is for God to roll the guilt off of you and the shame off of you. And the first time in your life, you can lay down at night and you're no longer worried about going to hell because the God of heaven has come into your life and changed your heart and changed your life. And now, beloved, he can dig down deep. He laid the foundation on a rock. The importance of the spiritual shovel, it's needed that we might dig down and see the right kind of foundation. I'm going to tell you something. The scripture said this, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Aren't you glad as a child of God this morning we're standing on a foundation that cannot be destroyed? Honey, I tell you, they're trying to rewrite history. They're trying every way in the world, beloved, to tell you that Christianity, listen, had nothing to do with the founding of America. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there was some men that loved this old book, say amen, and loved the God of this book. And beloved, listen, I believe that we're going to be destroyed from the inside out if we don't get back to this book. The foundation. Beloved, it's needed. The importance of the spiritual shovel, it's needed that we might dig down. Secondly, in the message today, this reminded me of my dear brother Brian. I don't know, there wasn't many times, if any, that he wouldn't leave the pulpit after making the announcements. And he said something like this, I want to get out of the way and let the pastor come and dig around us. How many remembers that? Let the pastor come and dig around us. So this spiritual shovel, it's needed that we might dig down to the right kind of foundation, but it's needed that we might dig around and see the right kind of fruitfulness. Look in your Bibles in Luke chapter 13, please, for just a moment. In Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13, let's listen to what the Word of God said here. We'll begin reading in verse number 6. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 6. The Bible said, He spake also this parable. The parables were a way of Jesus portraying truth. He would use an earthly illustration to portray a heavenly or a spiritual truth. Here he said, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and he sought fruit thereon. And he found, what did he find? None. I'm going to tell you something right now. You know what a pear tree is good for if it don't ever give you any pears? Nothing. You know what an apple tree is good for if it don't ever give you any apples? It ain't good for nothing. Amen. Now watch this. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. He said, Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why should it take up space in my vineyard when it's not producing any fruit? Cut it down. Now I want you to see this. I think this is awesome. The Bible said here, And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall what? Dig about it. See, God don't want us just to dig down, but he wants us to dig around. dig about it. I was out at the shelter the other day, and Brother Jim had another shovel. It was very similar to this. And one of the little ewes out there, the little bushes, has died. I think it's had help dying. I believe the help has come from a white dog with yellow water. Amen? I believe it's had help dying. But Brother Jim was out there, so he dug up all the old soil. He dug up the bush, and he was out there, and I saw him taking his shovel and doing this right here. He's getting ready to put a new bush in the ground, digging around. Watch what he said here. He said, "Let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it." That's another way of saying fertilize it. That's what you would use that for. And he said, "And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down." You say, "Pastor, what do you mean, the right kind of foundation in that first part we read, but here, the right kind of fruitfulness?" Let me say something to you, beloved, this morning. If you are saved by the grace of God, our Heavenly Father has every right to expect fruit in your life. He owns you. He has bought you with a price. And the Bible said, beloved, that we can bear fruit, we can bear more fruit, we can bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's what the Word of God said in John chapter number 15. And as I begin to read this story, I begin to look at the picture. And I believe, number one, it pictures the expectation of our Lord. You say you're a child of God? Then, beloved, there ought to be the fruit of a child of God in your life. There should be the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Now, there's love, and there's joy, and there's peace, and there's gentleness, and there's kindness, and there's faith, and there's meekness, and there's goodness. And the Bible said, against such there is no law. I'm going to tell you, beloved, this morning, if I looked at my life and I couldn't find any fruit, I would wonder if I'm on the right foundation. But if I looked at my life, beloved, and I saw that, listen, I'm on the right foundation, and yet I'm not bearing fruit, it brings me to the next thing. Not only does this text, this parable, picture the expectation of our Lord, but it pictures the long-suffering of our Lord. Aren't you glad? Thank God, beloved. Listen, when you have like Abraham did, that lapse in his faith, like John the Baptist did, that lapse in his faith, aren't you glad that God ain't coming right away, amen, with a sickle to cut it down, but he's coming with a shovel? He said, "I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to give it another year. I'm going to give it some time and see if that tree won't bring forth fruit once again for the glory of God." He's a long-suffering Savior. Beloved, it pictures the long-suffering of our Lord. I believe that spiritual shovel is needed, beloved, because there are times when we're not as fruitful as we ought to be. But thank God, God said, "I have a solution. Let's dig around that tree." You see, let me tell you something, beloved. I like to listen to preaching even. I was listening the other day to Adrian Rogers. I love to listen to Adrian Rogers. I've been listening some to Dr. Sexton Ralph Sexton. I've been listening to him some. I listened to a message. I didn't get all the way through it. Lester Roloff last week was preaching a message entitled "Pawing in the Valley." Amen. Last week we were digging in the valley, but he was pawing in the valley. He talked about that horse that pawed in the valley. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, you say, "Pastor, why would you want to tune in to preaching?" Because pastor needs somebody to dig around him. Amen. I want to keep a soil loose. I don't want it to get hard. I want to see some fertilizer in my life. Amen. That it might bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, the shovel, the spiritual shovel is needed that we might dig down on the right kind of foundation, that we might dig around, that we might see the right kind of fruitfulness. Now I'm going to give you something here. Not only does it picture the expectation of our Lord, and not only does it picture the long-suffering of our Lord, beloved, you may be here today and you say, well, preacher, I don't know why I'm still living. I'm not saved. I'll tell you why. God's long-suffering. You may be here today and you may be so far out of fellowship with God, you wonder, could I ever get back in fellowship with God? I know I'm on the right foundation, but I've strayed. I'm going to tell you something right now. Look at the life of Peter. He strayed too. He's out there warming by the devil's fire. He's out there cursing. But God said, come here, boy. I'm going to dig around you a little bit. Lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And God stood him up on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 souls got saved by the grace of God. Beloved, listen. God will dig around. But let me give you this. It pictures the expectation of our Lord. It pictures the long-suffering of our Lord. But this parable also pictures the judgment of our Lord. Come back a year later, he ain't coming with a shovel. You see it? We're going to give it a year. We're going to dig around it. We're going to fertilize it. But a year later, he ain't coming with a shovel. He's coming with an axe. He's going to cut it down. I'm going to tell you something right now. You want to break this preacher's heart? You leave this world without a testimony of being saved by the grace of God. It'll break my heart to think of God. Tried and he tried and he tried and he tried and he tried. And you would not. And God could. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck. I didn't plan on saying this, but it's right there in the book. Shall be cut off. And that without remedy. There's no remedy, beloved. You leave this world without Jesus, there's no remedy. I can't help you. Mom and Dad can't help you. Nobody can help you. Your brothers, your sisters, they can't help you. Ask the rich man. He lifted his eyes to hell. Send Lazarus, Abraham, please send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Son, there's a great gulf fixed. We can't come over there. I'm paraphrasing. You can't come over here. But you need to remember something, son. In your lifetime, you had your good things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now, thou art tormented. Now, he's comforted. You see, beloved, we need to dig down. We need to make sure we're on the right foundation. But we need to thank God in heaven, beloved. Listen, there's no fruit. God's willing. Dig around. God is long-suffering, but that same God is a God that'll say, it is enough. It's enough. I can't prove this, but I'll tell you how I felt in my heart, David, that Sunday night. It was get in or go to hell. Either one I wanted to do. God was speaking to my heart. It was get in or go out those doors one more time and go to hell without God. I'm going to tell you, beloved, I believe with all of my heart it's important that we see in the Scripture God wants us to dig down and expect that foundation, make sure we're on the rock. It's needed, that shovel, that spiritual shovel's needed that we might dig around, amen, that we might see the right kind of fruitfulness. But then thirdly, and I'm finished with this, that shovel's needed, that spiritual shovel, that we might dig again, that we might have the right kind of fellowship. I got this from Genesis chapter 26. It said, for all the wall of the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Let me just stop and say something this morning. Somebody back there behind me was shouting while Ree was singing a while ago, and I don't know who it was. It don't matter. But there might be somebody in the church. Brother Ralph, I believe you was getting a little bit happy over there. I'm praying for the day, Brother Ralph, and you get a whole lot happy. But you might be sitting in the building today, and you might be thinking something like this. What's their problem? Why are they getting so stirred up? If you get that earth out of your well, you might get stirred up. I'm going to tell you something about the enemy, Brother Michael. The enemy wants to stop up the well. God put in you and I, just like he did that woman that was there in John chapter number 4. She is sitting down there by the well. She had 5 husbands, and the one she was living with wasn't her own. And God said, if you'd know who you was talking to, said you'd ask of him and he'd give you living water. Honey, she come down there with a bucket and left with the well. Glory to God. She went back to town telling people, come see a man that told me all things ever that I did. It's not this the Christ. And the word of God said many believed on him for the saying of the woman. You say, Pastor, what was that woman's problem? It wasn't a problem. She just had a well that was springing up and overflowing. The Philistines hadn't got to her yet. They hadn't been able to dump no earth in her well. She had just met Jesus. You remember that day in your life? Say amen. You remember, beloved? Listen, hey, didn't nobody have to pump? They didn't nobody have to prime. Honey, you was ready to go to meeting, ready to read your Bible, ready to pray, ready to tell somebody else about Jesus, ready to give in the offering. Hallelujah! You say, Pastor, yeah, it used to be that way. Well, you need that spiritual shovel. You see, because the well's been stopped up. And you can dig again. That's what the Word of God said. Look at it right here. The Bible said, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water. You know what, beloved? If you could get down under that earth, if you've ever been born again, the water's still there. And the water's still good. If you could just take your spiritual shovel and get the earth off the top of it, amen, you could, beloved, get you a drink once again. And the best part about this well is somebody else can get a drink. Amen. The Word of God said this, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names which his father had called them. In other words, the wells were the same. They were just stopped up. And I like this. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. I'd ask a question this morning. Are we a well of water? Are we filled with the Spirit? Or are we filled with earth? Let me say this to you this morning. I'm not fussing, not at all. I just discovered something yesterday. I was visiting with Sister Barbara Musselman's brother. It was on the television, and I didn't know it, but I'm interested in it. There's a World Baseball League. And did y'all ever heard of it? I didn't know it. I mean, like Japan will be playing another country. Last night, I can't remember who was playing. One of them was Korea. But it's a world baseball league. I like baseball. Amen? I don't mind watching football. I don't mind watching baseball. And I don't mind watching tennis. I played tennis when I was in high school. And so there's some things I don't mind watching. But you know what I believe? I believe if it's a shame if you know all the teams and all the players and you can't find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible. I believe it's a shame if you know the TV guide better than you know the Word of God. Now let me just bring it on home. I believe it's a shame the average person in America spends probably 3 to 4 hours a day on social media. Huh? You're going along through your day, ching, ching, ching. There's some people all they live for is another thumbs up by somebody they don't even know. Amen. You say, Pastor, I don't have time to read my Bible. It ain't no wonder. You say, Pastor, I don't know why people get so happy when somebody's singing like that. I'll tell you why you don't know. The earth is filled up the well. God said, get your spiritual shovel. Number one, dig down. Make sure you're on the right foundation. Can't find any fruit? Dig around. Put some fertilizer in it. Amen. God is long-suffering. He'll work with you. Amen. And number three, dig again. If you're saved by the grace of God, there's a well there. You remember when God put it in there. You remember when you was like that woman who said, come see a man. You say, Pastor, did he really tell her everything? Here's the way I like to word it, Brother Mac. He told her enough that she knew that he knew everything. How many believes, beloved, listen, when we're talking about that deep conviction, when God comes that way, you know he knows everything. You can't hide nothing from him. So let's dig down, let's dig around, and let's dig again. And I'll tell you something right now, just like last week, fill the valley full of ditches. God will fill them with water. Amen. God wants to help us. I don't know numerous people in the last week. Pastor, I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's doing. And I'm glad for people that are excited. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need everybody to get excited. It's a privilege to be able to come to the house of God. Brother Wayne, I know, brother, that you hurt. I know that you suffer. And I know, Brother Wayne, if Jesus leaves us alone and he don't come back and get us soon, the day will come, Brother Wayne. You won't be able to come. I know that, and you know that. Actually, I know that about me, and I'm only 63 years old. There's mornings I get out of the bed, and I want to take a step, and my hip says, what'd you say? And my knee says, tell him. Amen. But while we can, we need to do what we can. I'm thrilled about the class that Brother Jason's teaching. I've stood before him and told him, honey, listen, look at your deacons. Look at your pastor. We're over the hill and way down the other side. Somebody better pick a shovel up. Somebody better pick a ball up. Amen. And run with it for the glory of God. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here. Lord, you've told us this morning the importance of this spiritual shovel. God, I pray that people would dig down this morning. They'd inspect that foundation. Lord, you had a plan before the foundation of the world. And that plan would be that Jesus would be our Redeemer. He would go to the cross. He would give his life. And Lord, I pray that we as your people would cooperate with your plan. Lord, you want us to be fruitful people. God, you want us to bear fruit to the glory of God. We can't produce fruit, but Lord, we can, Lord, abide in the vine, and we can bear fruit for the glory of God. Then, Lord, there are those here today, Lord, they know they're saved as well as they know their own name, but they know the excitement's gone. They know the joy's gone. Lord, the well's stopped up. The things of earth have stopped up the well. And Lord, their joy is lacking this morning. I pray, God, they'd come. I pray, God, this morning, that spiritually speaking, they'd say, God, would you help me take a shovel? Get this earth out of the way. Would you help me to get that good, cool drink again? Would you help me to live in such a way that someone else could get a good, cool drink at my well? Lord, I pray this morning that you'd help us save the lost, our Lord. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. We're going to have a song of invitation in just a moment.